Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Dr. Jerry is on the attack, liberty's friend and tyranny's foe. The heathen are raging and the battle for America is on. The devil beware, Dr. Scheidbach is on the air, deftly swinging the sword of the spirit, aimed at the heart of the dragon of lies, the prince of the power of the air.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
I'm glad Rand Paul beat the bug and is as fiery as ever, opposing deep state tyranny. Good for him. Railed against the draconian lockdown. Interesting word, draconian. Sounds rather devilish. Sort of like Draculish. Anyway, it comes from an Athenian named Draco, a fellow who had a penchant for making laws that were notoriously harsh, excessively severe. I mean, that guy gave you the death penalty for spitting on the sidewalk. Now, I must say, the word has no known relationship to the name Dracula, except that the spirit of both, it appears, spawned from the dragon's lair. Dracul was the family name, you know, and his second son took the name Count Dracula, which means son of Dracul. But in Romanian, the word Dracul means dragon, and it is interesting that he took this name Dracula when he was initiated into the secret Catholic order called the Order of the Dragon. So there you have it, as my beloved Dove would say. Thinking of the devil, House Democrats have voted to form a special investigative committee tasked to scrutinize the president's response to the anemic pandemic. I call it the anemic pandemic because of the irritating way this pandemic keeps not performing as they believed it would. Very disappointing to the liberals who are running this thing. I'm going to bring out some new news on the origin of this pandemic that will offer testimony to the grace of God. But yeah, they just can't get the numbers where they want them. Trump and Pence compelled Fauci and Burke to reveal the fact that they were going to count COVID deaths differently from the way they've ever tracked deaths by flus in the past. Now they will attribute death to COVID, regardless of whether the patient actually died of COVID, so long as they tested positive before they died. But apparently that did not produce the results they wanted. They sent out a notice to doctors advising them it was okay to put COVID as a cause of death, even if the patient might have tested positive. They keep manipulating the numbers and the doctors to get the death count as high as they can, but there is one number they got. There's one big number they did achieve, and it's 27 million people out of work. And not because there aren't enough jobs to go around, but because of a flu that kills 2% of those infected. Pretty powerful little bug, eh? Did you hear that Barr is inching ever closer to indictments? Make no mistake, one of the angles I think these guys are playing is to keep Trump busy with other things so he can't steer resources toward getting the swamp creatures. But have faith, all things work together for good. For example, newly declassified documents show John Kerry's State Department spread the Russia collusion virus narrative. We're seeing more and more exposure of the Democrat left. The liberal view, economic hardship, that doesn't equal death. You've got to be kidding me. My friend, we live in a world where people die every day, and we just go ahead and risk living it. 7,775 people die every day. 58,000 die of alcohol-related causes every year. 16 to 30,000, and actually it's more than that, die from flu every year, and that's before COVID showed up. I can go on and on. These people are smothering us with their oppressive protection, but they don't feel it, you know? Really, Cuomo doesn't feel the oppression because, well, he's the oppressor. And the oppressor never feels the loss of freedom or liberty that he imposes on everyone else, like his lying brother on CNN, you know? Self-imposed quarantine. What a joke. What a fake. Perfect for CNN. A fake. Cuomo's brother, Cuomo, makes a big deal about coming out of quarantine. Nominate him for an Oscar. All broken up about not seeing his family for whatever it was. I don't know, 2 weeks, four or something. Turns out the guy was traveling about visiting his vacation home a few miles away. Oh, yeah. All proven stuff. And they're all like this, you know. They sit in their mansions eating their $13 a pint ice cream with their paycheck coming in from us, by the way. And their insider trading millions that back them up. Palouse, while refusing to go to Washington and pass a relief bill for the small businesses being devastated by their oppressive, smothering protection pretense. I'm telling you, I much prefer God as my protector than these liberty-destroying, antichrist-serving oppressors. So Pelosi congratulates her fellow Democrats for blocking the relief bill. And then when she's finally shamed into leading her Democrats to pass the bill, she blames the Republicans for delaying the passing of the bill. We are up against unreasonable and wicked men and women who are willing to lie to advance their agenda. They're willing to let people die if it advances their agenda. They are willing to destroy the economy of America if it advances their agenda. And what is their agenda? Stop Trump and his followers from making America great again. And then underneath that one is the agenda to finish the job of taking America out from under God and bringing it into the power of the godless. You hear that one guy who said he sees this whole thing as a trial run on taking liberties away from Christians. Are you hearing the mock God in prayer? McCain's daughter, or was it his granddaughter? I don't remember. She refuses to co-host The View with anyone who would suggest that we should turn to God in prayer at a time like this. And Cuomo thinks it's important to announce that God is not helping New York in this situation. Cuomo's answer to New Yorkers who want to go back to work because they're running out of money? Go get a job that's essential. You see, he doesn't feel it because he's essential. He's part of the problem. Every job is essential. Jobs put food on our tables, keep us sheltered and clothed. Every job's essential. But if you are AOC, have you noticed she looks like that llama in Emperor's New Groove? In a recent picture I saw, AOC wants Americans to boycott work. Yeah, she wants all workers to refuse to go to work after this anemic pandemic is over. That is, in other words, after the left runs out of excuses to keep us in oppression by their protection. You do understand, every tyrant in history has used protection as justification for oppression. All of them, friend, now AOC has said, only in America does liberation mean going back to work. Quote, unquote. Think about that. I don't know what this girl has in her head in place of gray matter, but gray matter it isn't. These oppressors never feel their oppression because, you see, they just go on with their lives. North Carolina governor breaks his own stay-at-home orders. He travels to his vacation home. Oh, for all the talk about people being dead because of the president's handling of this anemic pandemic, guess what came out today? Cuomo ordered nursing homes that did not have the necessary protective equipment to handle it to receive coronavirus positive patients into their facilities. And this led directly to the deaths of 3,500 patients. You know, that's pretty close to the number killed in, wait a minute, actually it's more. On 9/11, they lost 2,996 lives in New York. Friends, Cuomo killed more New Yorkers than Bin Laden did. And what does Cuomo do? Well, he couldn't find a way to blame Trump for this one, so he blamed the nursing homes. Now, that smoke you see rising in the Northeast, that's Cuomo's crash and burn. Okay, time to begin wrapping up the first segment. While the Pentagon pushes back against the theory that the Wuhan virus is lab-grown, some pretty heavy hitters in the virology world are saying otherwise. Here's a Nobel Prize-winning virologist. A professor, a French guy who identified the HIV virus that causes AIDS. He has examined this virus, and he says he has identified small sequences of HIV in the RNA of COVID-19. And he explained that this is the sort of thing he would expect to see if someone was trying to manipulate the new coronavirus to create a vaccine for HIV. Some of Fauci's HIV research gone awry? The Nobel Prize-winning professor is Luc Montagné. He insists that an increasing number of other researchers are coming to the same conclusion. He also said there is increasing pressure to quash these scientists and compel them to support the narrative that it was a naturally occurring virus, not one that was manipulated. Well, for one, the evidence that the pandemic originated in, or from, I should say, a Wuhan lab is fast becoming incontrovertible. An Indian virologist, Buttar, has been researching this whole business, and he found an article in Nature magazine published in 2015 stating that this virus was being developed from a bat coronavirus in the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hills in 2015. And that is after a 2014 moratorium forbidding such research was put in place by the government, interfering with Fauci's continued research on this virus. It's called chimeric research. The idea is they modify a virus genetically in order to gain functions, gain function research or something like this. And that is to make it more resilient and virulent. And that's what was going on in 2014, that the government put the kibosh on it. But then when that moratorium was began to interfere with work being done with this virus, NIH head Dr. Fauci, it is believed, arranged to have it sent to Wuhan, China to continue the work. Now, we don't know if he did it, someone in his organization did it. We're not sure about that. But anyway, Obama, interestingly, approved sending $3.7 million to Wuhan Labs at about the same time. Dr. Fauci predicted a pandemic would occur in Trump's presidency. And that's just weird, man. The guy is psychic. He said it would hit in 2018 or 2019. Wow. Gene Dixon, eat your heart out. And why is Fauci so opposed to hydroxychloroquine? Why is he balking at the use of this drug when Dr. Fauci, quote, cheered use of hydroxychloroquine in treating MERS back in 2013, end quote. It was not dangerous to people then. What reason would they have to oppose use of a drug that has proven effective in treating this disease when they felt comfortable using it to treat another flu? And why are they beginning to come up with fake studies to discourage use of this drug? What is going on here? A fake news report has surfaced citing a study that proves it is dangerous, right? Hydroxychloroquine. An AP report reveals that a Virginia study, quote, concluded hydroxychloroquine is of no use treating COVID-19 and actually causes more deaths than standard care, end quote. What? As per usual, you just have to wait a little while for the truth to come up behind it. And as per usual, a caveat was forced from these people to admit that, quote, the findings should not be viewed as definitive because the analysis does not adjust for patients' clinical status and showed that hydroxychloroquine alone was provided to Virginia's sickest COVID-19 patients. What do you know about that? From the beginning, doctors knew neither this nor any other drug would cure something in its advanced stages, not like this flu, and there was no consideration given for the patient's underlying conditions or age, but the media totally ignore the substantiated studies that show the drug is very effective in treating this flu when it's used properly and early. I go back and forth with Fauci, but I'm beginning to go back more than forth lately. Now, add to all of this the plan to pump up the death numbers. You've heard all that, I'm sure. No? You're kidding me. Well, let's start with the announcement I heard Fauci and Burke make myself explaining why they were going to count COVID-19 deaths differently from how they've counted swine flu and any other flu death. Okay? They wanted to ensure they had, in the end, an accurate count of the number of people who contracted the disease. And their view, if someone had the disease, but they were diagnosed as having died from another cause, then the presence of COVID-19 would have been masked in the records. So just put a checkbox somewhere on the form, on the death certificate, that says, by the way, this guy who died of liver disease did test positive for COVID-19. Give me a break. Yeah, but then it comes out that health departments are circulating instructions to doctors, encouraging them to report COVID-19 as cause of death, even if the person had not tested positive for the disease, but were in a category that made it likely or very likely that they had contracted it or been exposed to it. This is getting really weird and really very sick. And what about this? An ICU ER doctor was censored recently because he objected to intubating patients before all other options were attempted. another new way to do things. You know, used to, doctors would avoid intubation because it creates a lot of problems. They would try other avenues of care first. But now, they want to intubate before they've even tried other less dangerous or intrusive forms of care. Why? If a patient has breathing problems, respiratory problems, they usually want to try CPAP or CPAP first, which is continuous positive airway pressure, or BiPAP, bi-level positive airway pressure, very similar, a little different approach. These are non-invasive and preferred to intubation, which, by the way, is a step in preparation for the patient to be placed on a ventilator. Now, why are these things being done? I suppose they would have some medical mumbo-jumbo, and I probably wouldn't question it because, friend, I'm not a doctor. I don't understand all this. But when a doctor who deals with this sort of thing is on the scene and he's questioning what's going on here, it makes me wonder. So, my friend, you see, you've just got to wonder. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America, too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com.
Okay, soldiers, speak up and charge the gates of hell.
It's God's war, and we are his soldiers. The battle for America is on. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing "The Enemy Is on the March," and "The Enemy That Would Steal From Us Our Liberties." Americans are beginning to cry freedom. Mel Gibson playing William Wallace in Braveheart. William Wallace is a legend in Scotland for his passion for liberty. That spirit infuses the American soul. At least those who have not had it taught out of them in our liberal indoctrination and re-education institutions called public education. Real Americans value liberty above life. It's in our DNA, man. I read somewhere that there are only two people in this world who have willingly laid down their lives to set others free. Jesus Christ and the American soldier. I knew it would not be too long before Americans began to chafe at the stay-at-home order and begin to become suspicious they're being manipulated by politicians into panic so they can justify keeping perfectly healthy people under virtual house arrest. It's just getting obvious, is it not? Dr. Burke announces the alarming number. Somberly, she informs us, 50,000 new cases identified. Gasp. At least one reporter had the temerity to ask the obvious question. Doesn't that mean the death ratio is being driven down dramatically since, after all, the recovery rate from this flu is upwards of 98%? Well, you know, that's good news, and we can't have any of that. So Scarf, thank you, Rush, evades the question and spends another 3 minutes beating the panic drum. Why? And why are they purposely manipulating the death numbers? Yeah, you know, if someone tests positive for COVID, no matter what they actually die from, they're counted as a COVID death. And some doctors are being told they don't even have to test positive for COVID to be counted. What is going on? We've never done this kind of thing before. Why would they do something like this? That's really the question. Friend, it's all about politics. And I heard a fitting joke once that said, politics, poly, many, ticks, you know, the bug that sucks blood, a whole bunch of them on this body politics about to kill us. Everybody knows Trump went out of his way to make certain New York was given everything she needed and even more. So the droning whine of liberal Democrat Governor Cuomo is just annoying because, friend, it's not about Trump telling New Yorkers to drop dead. It's Cuomo telling New Yorkers they don't matter as much to him as bringing down President Trump. The more truth leaks out to the American people about what's going on, the more unhappy Americans are becoming about being forced to wear a mask so we look like people living under China dictators and restricted from work and from while living so we live like people living under communism. Preparedness for something here, and Americans are beginning to cry freedom. I don't have to tell you about the protests developing across the country. You've seen them. And in fact, one has been announced for our area. It's called Stand Strong, and they will meet on the corner of Oak Park and Grand Avenue in Grover Beach between 1 and 3 p.m. I'm looking at opening my calendar so I can attend. Perhaps I'll see you there. That's this Saturday, April 25, between 1 to 3 p.m. on the corner of Oak Park and Grand Avenue in Grover Beach. So here is the question facing Christians today. Romans 13 tells us we must submit to the powers. And the word there translated powers, exousia, it means authority, because they are ordained of God. Well, let's look at that today. Do the government's divinely ordained powers have priority over our divinely endowed rights? Which comes first, the divine ordination of the powers or the divine rights those powers are divinely appointed to protect? That's not a hard one, is it? Here's another way to look at it. Does our responsibility to obey magistrates extend to the forfeiture of our inalienable rights? Are our inalienable rights enjoyed only at the pleasure of divinely appointed powers? Is it rebellion to resist such encroachments? Were our founders correct when they said, rebellion against tyranny is submission to God? You see, my friend, the Democrats today, they are upending our founding principles. The devil does not like liberty. He takes power by force of violence. Now, remember, the word violence doesn't refer only to armed aggression, but it refers to any act whereby control over others is taken by violation, violating their rights. And here are some examples. So, because of a risk someone might contract or spread a flu that kills about 2% of those who get it, all Americans must suffer the loss of their liberties? Because Governor Whitman thinks you might get sick, you can't go out into your yard to play? All right, we'll stay serious here, because this goes way past any mother hen's protective instincts, you know. And COVID-19 does kill about 2% of those infected with it. And that's not a laughing matter, by the way. And of course, neither is the 58,000 that die every year from alcohol-related causes, or the 16 to 30,000 plus that die every year from the regular flu. You get the idea, don't you? We live with the risk of death every day, okay? Americans are angry that politicians are playing their political games at the expense of our liberties, seething, because it's unreasonable and it's wicked. For example, all these Democrat governors that deem churches unessential and order them closed, well, they keep the liquor stores and abortion clinics open, don't they? Whitman says you can kill your babies at the abortion mills during the lockdown because abortion is life-sustaining. You gotta be kidding me. What is this crazy woman thinking? Not for the baby. So, you know, doctors killing babies, that's essential work, but you can't go to church? In Michigan, you can be arrested for taking your motorboat out to fish. But if you paddle your boat or canoe out into the water to fish, that's okay. Who does she think she is fooling? This isn't about getting sick or spreading disease. She's not fooling the Michiganders. Now, I hear she's made it illegal to garden. And in true tyrant's fashion, she has responded to protests by extending the shutdown order. But these Democrat governors are not messing with the snowflakes, illegals, and dead people who voted them in. Har har. They are stirring up the liberty-loving people that make this country work. These folks don't melt like snowflakes. They're touching the sacred in America. Religious liberty, Second Amendment liberties, the right to take care of our families. But aren't we supposed to obey these magistrates? The issue we face as Christians today hinges on our understanding of key passages of Scripture, like Romans 13:1-6. Now, folks, this passage does not teach every leader holding power is divinely approved by God to have it. The Bible does not teach that every person holding power is ordained of God. It does not even teach that every person holding power was put there by God. God allowed Israel to set up kings against his will, but that does not mean he set up those kings. And besides, we dumped that divine right of king stuff years ago, didn't we? Let's look at this. God complained that his people Israel had set up kings, but not by him. Hosea 8:4. So they did it. He didn't. He had given them instructions in Deuteronomy 17 to follow, but they ignored his instructions, and they chose leaders who led them into error. The Spirit said through Isaiah, O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Isaiah 3:12. And that is what has happened in America. We have set persons in positions of power in this country contrary to the will of God. And those leaders have led our nation to the very maw of hell. But through prayer and repentance on behalf of a small remnant, we have been given a chance to turn it around and bring this nation back under God. Let's not blow it. Romans 13 does not say all persons who hold power are ordained of God to have it. It does say all the powers men hold are ordained of God. Now, that means anyone who holds power in this world, much less America, holds it under the ordaining authority of the King of heaven and of earth, and that's Jesus Christ. Any ruler that uses the ordained power in defiance of its ordaining authority has exceeded his authority and forfeits any claim to divine support for his or her actions. That's why Peter and John said to the authorities that forbade them to preach in Jesus' name, "We will obey God rather than men." According to Romans 13, God ordained the powers for a specific purpose, and that is to reward the righteous and punish the wicked. This gives government the power to use force to execute judgment on evildoers. However, the word evil has to be understood within the context of the same book where we find Romans 13, the Bible. And that means using the divinely appointed power of government to facilitate a transgendered man to dress salaciously and writhe about in front of a 10-year-old little girl is exactly the opposite of what God ordained government to protect. God intended the powers should protect the innocence of that precious young girl and punish the evil of that wicked man, girl, whatever. Romans 13 tells us God has given his divinely appointed power, the sword, and expressly tells us that it is to be used to execute wrath upon evildoers. It is nowhere said to be appointed for the execution of wrath of the anti-Christian believer upon God-fearing patriotic Christians living peaceably, honestly, and godly. But rather, it's to be used against the evildoers, whether they be believers or unbelievers. Romans 13 does not teach we are supposed to let usurpers take the power of government by violence and then use it contrary to the overarching ordaining authority of God. And by the way, to take violence certainly includes things like the Boxer or the Bolshevik Revolution or that nonsense that went on in France during theirs. My friend, the words violence and violation come from the same root. When Democrats steal an election by voter fraud, they are taking power by violence. So, to answer the questions I posed earlier, do government's divinely ordained powers have priority over our divinely endowed rights? Answer, no. Which comes first, the divine ordination of the powers or the divine rights those powers are divinely appointed to protect? Oh, that's too easy. It's obvious. Our divinely appointed natural rights bequeathed to us by our Creator at creation come before any divinely appointed authority instituted to protect those rights. Does our responsibility to obey magistrates extend to the forfeiture of our inalienable rights to the divinely appointed powers? Absolutely not. Are our inalienable rights enjoyed only at the pleasure of divinely appointed powers? No way. Is it rebellion to resist such encroachments? No. In fact, it is our patriotic and biblical duty. For our founders were correct when they said, rebellion against tyranny is submission to God. You really need to read God's War. It's a game changer. More than one pastor who's heard the God's War message has said to me, that's a game changer, preacher. It's a paradigm shift. You need to go to godswar2020.com and you'll learn all about this. It's not new doctrine. It's a return to a proper biblical perspective on the rise and fall of nations, of the cosmic drama and the conflict between good and evil. And for the well-studied pastor, my friend, here's a book that reconciles Reformed and dispensational eschatology like none other you've ever read. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see them. It's lights on if you agree, lights off if you don't. Call 1-805-314-2114 and leave me a message in our listener response hotline or go to our website. Now I'm directing you to our landing page for God's War. Go to godswar2020.com. godswar2020.com, and from there you can get to our brainmassage.net. So my dear friends, God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
God's people face a critical battle for America in 2020. We the people will take this nation back from the unreasonable and wicked men and women who have dragged this once great land to the maw of hell. Or we will fall into the power of those who hate Christ, Christians, and the Bible. If that happens, everyone loses, because freedom loses. Go to godswar2020.com. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.